Blog Talk Radio.
Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, June 14th. Tonight, we're going to be chatting with our friend Fausta Rodriguez-Wirtz. We're going to get into a lot of stories that are on the front pages, if you will. There was a despicable appearance of this gentleman, Oscar, I say gentleman, I guess I'm just being nice, of Oscar Lopez Rivera, who showed up at this parade. I thought it was interesting. I have a post about this coming out hopefully tomorrow at the American Thinker, but I thought it was interesting that the mayor of New York kept a distance from him. You know, that is so weak on the part of the mayor. I mean, he doesn't kick him out, but he stays a distance from him. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. There was a vote in Puerto Rico for statehood. Brazil, President Temer made it through some rather interesting legal hoops, but apparently he's free for the time being. There was a fascinating visit by Chancellor Merkel of Germany to Mexico. I mean, basically, it's a routine visit. You know, she's probably on some kind of a trade mission, which I understand. But she made some remarks about the wall in the United States. But she also said something very important that nobody in the American media picked up. And she also said that you have to look at the reasons that people are leaving. And that apparently didn't get any following at all in the American media. And if we have a chance, we'll talk a little bit about President Peña Nieto, who's traveling in Central America. What he's doing down there, I'm not exactly sure, but he is down in Central America. Let's say hello to Fausta Rodriguez-Wirtz, the editor of Fausta's blog. How are you, Fausta?
Very well, Silvio. How's it going?
Well, it's warm and humid here in the 90s. What more can I say? Texas summer is here, you know, a week early, but it's here.
Yeah, well, at least you get some winter. Here in Florida, we have humid and more humid. That's what the weather looks like.
Yeah, like humid and a little, yeah, humid and more humid. Anyway, there was a big shooting today over at, it's just outside of Washington, D.C. I think it actually happened in Virginia. You know, I'm sure most people are familiar with it. Somebody walked into the field where these Republicans were practicing for the baseball game, the congressional baseball game tomorrow night. Apparently the man said, "Are those guys Republicans?" Yes, they are. And he shot several of them. Thankfully, there was a police officer there who stopped most of the, probably prevented a horrible massacre, because there would have been probably several dead congressmen without that police officer there. And, you know, Fausta, I don't want to get into too much a politicization of this, because it's probably not the right time for it. But we do have a climate of hate in the country. And I would argue that when you have a play in Central Park where the president of the United States, people get they applaud at the end of the play, but the president of the United States, it's obvious that the person is Trump. He gets attacked by people, apparently killed in the play, and people call that art. Well, you can't have it both ways. If you're going to have that kind of art, then some crazy people like this guy this morning are going to do some crazy things, Fausta.
Well, yes, and it's not just this version of Julius Caesar. I wrote about it in the Tech Guy blog last week, and I'm writing about the shooting. I wrote about the shooting this morning. I wrote about the Shakespeare in the Park, Julius Caesar. Now, Julius Caesar is a play that kind of lends itself to the latest trend, if you want to read it that way. Like, years ago, I went with my family to see Julius Caesar, and the guy who played Julius Caesar essentially flashed the audience. I'm not sure why, but nowadays you have, who is it, the Snoop Dogg doing a video where he shoots a clown dressed like Donald Trump in the head. You have college professors asking that Republicans be lined up and shot. You have Antifa, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, rioters. You have Black Lives Matter demonstrators chanting pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, referring to the police. You have Kathy Griffin doing a photo op where she looks like a jihadist holding up the severed head of Donald Trump. And it just goes on like that. So there is this shootout where a clearly insane man decides that he's going to kill some Republicans. So the police are investigating. We don't know anything other than, you know, essentially what you and I have just said. And there's, at the same time, this climate of violence from people who just cannot just be with Donald Trump being president. I mean, and I don't even mean be calm, just, you know, be, because they're resorting to this, what I call eliminationist rhetoric. So the left, of course, Democrats in particular, are going to ignore this rhetoric as much as possible as a possible motive. The same way that they ignore Islamism as a motive for terror attacks. And instead, they're focusing on the gun. The governor of Virginia was saying, well, you know, we need better gun control laws. And people like David Frum are already tweeting information that is incorrect as to background checks, concealed carry, and so on, who don't even know what kind of gun was used. Apparently it was a long gun, it was some kind of rifle. And so, of course, it's going to be politicized. I mean, what else do you expect?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I have always been, I believe in the Second Amendment, and I think for the most part I do, but I'm always open-minded. And if somebody comes to me and says, well, we need this gun restriction, and explains to me why and shows me how it could actually reduce crime, I'm happy to listen to it. I'm happy to consider it. But I haven't really seen anything that would have stopped this person. I mean, from what I understand, this man moved from Illinois to Virginia recently. I saw an interview with the police or the FBI this afternoon, who was saying that this guy was living out of his car for several weeks or for several months there in Virginia. So this is a guy who, you know, as far as the police knows, he's still living in Illinois probably. And yet he is physically in Virginia. I mean, he has a Facebook page that is nothing but anti-Trump. I mean, very severe anti-Trump. So, you know, what gun law would have stopped this guy? I don't know of any. How did he get that rifle? He probably brought it with him when he came from Illinois. I mean, you know, because his neighbor in Illinois says that he would go out and shoot. I guess he lived in an open neighborhood or something, and he would go out in the backyard and start shooting the rifle. So, again, I mean, this is one of those things where show me how a gun law would have stopped this, and I'll listen to you. But most of the time, you know, it's just pure theory. The other thing, too, is, I bet you, without knowing the laws of Virginia, I bet you that it's already illegal to bring a rifle to a park. So it's already illegal to bring a rifle to a park. So what exactly, what gun law would have stopped this criminal, Fausta?
Well, and that's also, that brings us to a greater point. First of all, the likelihood that the rifle this man was carrying is illegal in both Illinois and Virginia is quite high from what I understand. But also, the fact that the only reason that there was not a bigger slaughter is because there was somebody armed there, and the only reason that group of policemen were there is because there was the senior member of the House was going to be there, shows you that it's because somebody was able to stop the gunman with even a handgun that it didn't get even worse. Now, I am not a, I don't know much about guns, but let me tell you one thing. If somebody's using an automatic rifle with a lot of bullets and you're trying to stop him with a handgun, you're taking a huge risk. Thank God that the policeman who actually stopped him was able to, because otherwise, I mean, it would be a horrible disaster. So, yes, I'm all for, you know, the honest and law-abiding people being armed.
Yes. Oh, I agree with you, and I agree with you. And I think that, you know, I heard the governor of Virginia. I was in the car in the afternoon when the governor of Virginia, or when I heard the governor of Virginia talk about gun control. And again, it's the same. It's almost like, as my father used to say, you know, un disco rayado. It's the same garbage every time. Every time there's a shooting, they come out with, well, you know, we have 93 people killed each day in the United States because of guns. Okay, well, it's a country of 320 million people. You know, it's a pretty big country, so 93 is probably 93 too many, but how many people are saved by guns? Well, we know at least 5 were saved today by guns. There'd be a lot of dead people this morning. That would have been a massacre of historic proportions. I don't think there would have ever been any massacre like that in American history of probably 3, 4, 5 congressmen and maybe even a couple of senators who were there. That would have been a massacre of historic proportions, Fausta.
Well, and McCullough himself, when he was talking this morning, instead of saying 93 people, he said 93 million Americans are
That's
killed
right.
every
I
day.
Saw
happening.
That.
Which,
yeah, I heard that.
I mean, it just brings it to the height of absurdity. And that is one of the problems that I have also with all this anti-gun rhetoric. They stick to talking points, and half the time they don't even know what the heck they're talking about. If they could honestly say, look, I am against this on principle. I don't know much about guns, but this is how I feel. I would have more respect for it. At least it would
right.
be honest.
Right. If they would say to me, look, let's do away with the Second Amendment and no American should have the right to have a gun. If they went that far, okay, and they said, this is what I believe and out of principle I believe this, like you say, at least you can say, well, the guy's honest. You know, he's presenting a point of view. But what they do is they say, no, of course we support the Second Amendment, and then they start dancing all these little restrictions, you know, this list and that list and background checks. Well, first of all, this guy, what background check are they going to do on this guy? You know, he doesn't even live in Virginia. He was living out of his car. I mean, it's just so crazy. The whole darn thing is so crazy. But the climate of hate coming from the left, I'm not going to say that people on our side didn't do it. There are crazy people on our side, too, who do crazy things. But the worst thing I ever remember when Obama was president was some clown in Nebraska who I think put on, I mean, a real clown, at a fair who put on an Obama mask, and you would have thought it was the end of the world, Fausta. Remember that? You would have thought it was the end of the world because this clown decided to put a presidential mask. I've seen clowns. I mean, I was at a circus one time years ago where the clown had a Reagan mask. Nothing political. He was just Reagan the president, you know?
Wasn't the Obama clown, wasn't he like in a rodeo, I forget?
Yeah, exactly, a rodeo. That's what I meant. He was at a rodeo, so he decides to put an Obama mask on, and you would have thought that it was the total end of the world. But I don't remember any play during the Obama years where Obama was killed in the play, as is the case with this Julius Caesar play. I don't remember any movie made and shown at the Toronto Film Festival where President Bush was assassinated. I don't remember that about President Obama. So we did some stupid things too, but nothing to this level. And speaking of this level, Fausta, why don't we go with Lopez Rivera? How insulting is this to have this man march in a parade and mock the victims and the police officers that his organization hurt and killed over the years, Fausta. You know, how crazy is that? That's another example of the left showing no respect for the country, Fausta.
Well, no respect for anybody. I mean, I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and I take it as a personal affront that this man has been exalted as a so-called national hero by a New York City councilwoman who thinks that she represents Puerto Ricans anywhere. It is beyond it's beyond belief to have a convicted terrorist. I mean, we're not talking a regular, you know, guy who went out and held up a supermarket someplace. We're talking a guy who actually used his apartment as a bomb-making factory in the 1970s. A guy whose organization, the FALN, was declared the largest terrorist organization of the time in the United States. So to
right.
have him set free by Barack Obama when he in his last day in office, and then have him released and leading the parade from afloat is, I cannot tell you how infuriating it is.
No,
I mean,
it should
really,
be. It should be.
Fail me.
It should be because, and here again, let's talk about the what I think is the dishonesty of President Obama. Why did President Obama wait until the last minute to do this pardon? Why didn't he do this pardon, let's say, during the campaign? Because he knew that it would be a problem for Hillary Clinton. And yet they do it at the last minute, and they release this man. They don't say, we're going to release you, but that doesn't mean you can march in parades or be out there in public. We want you at home away from the public. No. He goes out there and 3 months after being released, he's marching in a parade. I mean, that's pretty obscene. And then the mayor of New York stays away from him but doesn't say anything about this guy participating. I think overall it was pretty weak, Fausta.
Well, the mayor of New York, I'm not sure. The mayor of New York, face it, you know, he married a woman who declared herself a Marxist. He honeymooned in Cuba back before, you know, it was trendy, and he's essentially a big-time socialist. So after AT&T, Univision, Goya Foods, which is the largest sponsor, and a number of other companies backed away from sponsoring the parade, I guess de Blasio took the hint and decided that it really wasn't politically savvy for him to be seen on a photo op with Lopez Rivera. So instead of saying, well, you know, I think this is wrong, he shows up and marches 10 blocks away in the same parade that Lopez Rivera has already been leading from a float, wearing a T-shirt with a black and white Puerto Rican flag instead of the usual red, white, and blue. And it is maddening.
No, it is. It's absolute madness. And all I can say is, you know, this is why people are angry, because we're not talking here, like you say. You know, it's not like this guy was in jail for check kiting, or was in jail because, you know, he was, you know what I mean, he was doing something, you know, some kind of a white crime or white collar crime kind of thing. This is a guy who, there are people who lost family members. I saw an interview with somebody the other day, I think, whose father was killed.
The gentleman whose father was killed at the Francis Tavern bombing, which was organized by the FALN when Lopez Rivera was in charge.
Now, the argument is, well, they cannot prove that Lopez Rivera pulled a trigger or was, you know, was a part of, I guess, of the whoever did it. But, you know, the best way that Lopez Rivera could settle that issue would be for him to come out and say, I condemn all of those killings. He didn't do that. You know, he left. He was released. Hasn't apologized for any of it, Fausta.
And by the way, Lopez Rivera's buddy from the FALN is still living in Cuba. He got himself into Cuba after he was able to leave the United States while he was running away from the FBI.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a few. There's a few of those people down in Cuba.
So,
I know one of the points that President Trump, I believe, is going to make this week when he goes to Miami, or next week when he announces a new policy toward Cuba. That's one of the things that he will call for the return of many of those fugitives down in Cuba. We're going to take a little break, Fausta. When we come back, we'll get into a few things like Brazil, Puerto Rico, Chancellor Merkel, and a few other things.
This is Carlos Quevez, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
You know, I'm really thrilled for my friend Carlos. He's doing very well at NOLA. He's playing all over town. He's having a lot of success. He's a great guy, and we're so grateful that he lets us use the music from his CD for the show. But I am so proud of him and so happy that he's doing so well at NOLA. A lot of people are showing up, and they dance and they eat, and that's what it's all about. Well, let's get back to our friend Fausta Rodriguez. Words, Fausta, I think I may have cut you off there before we went on the break, so I apologize. Were you going to say something?
Yes. Any of our listeners who may be interested in learning about the connection between Fidel Castro and the terrorists in Puerto Rico should read an article in the Wall Street Journal by Zach Dorfman titled "How Fidel Castro Supported Terrorism in America."
Right. Was this released today or this week?
This was last week, about 6 days ago.
Oh, okay. Well, about the time of the controversy, I assume. Yes, I remember seeing that article. I didn't read it, but I remember seeing that article in the Wall Street Journal page. I'm going to go back and read it now that you're recommending it. Well, speaking of Puerto Rico, they had a vote for statehood. What I was surprised, Fausta, is the turnout was so low. I mean, what does that say to you?
Well, what it says to me is that the constituency for statehood essentially mostly turned up to vote. Even then, when you consider that the prior plebiscite that they had, because Puerto Rico's, this is going to sound very cynical, but Puerto Rico has plebiscites on statehood, commonwealth, or independence every so many years. I mean, as a matter of fact, I consider talking about the status of the island as one of the three as a national hobby, and it's also a distraction from many of the financial problems that they have every so often. So it seems to me that the constituency for statehood turn up mostly, it was the ones who voted for it, and that's not to be surprising. I do not know how binding it is. I do not know how wise it is for Puerto Rico to try to become a state in the middle of this financial disaster that is of their own making. I know many Puerto Ricans listening are going to be upset to hear me say this, but guys, this has been coming for a very long time. These defaults, this spending, the large number of unemployment, and the large number of people who are employed only by the government, this has been coming for a very long time. To make a good case for statehood, they're going to have to clean up the financial act, because otherwise it's not going to go well in Congress. Now, The governor at the present time could have the option of saying, well, you know, they voted for statehood, so I'm going to try the Tennessee maneuver from back when Tennessee became a state, where essentially they sent some guy saying that they were senators and they wanted to be seated. I don't think that's going to work. I don't think it has the support in Congress, and I don't think that the timing is very good, especially since the Congress now is a Republican Congress, And Puerto Rico would most likely be a Democrat state. As a matter of fact, Hillary and the Clinton machinery are very big in Puerto Rico. So it's not supposed to be binding. We'll see what else happens. But until the financial problems are a little bit less disastrous, I don't think it's going to get anywhere.
I think you make a good case that there's so many Puerto Ricans who've left the Puerto Rico, and if Puerto Rico became a state, I don't think they necessarily would go back because they're settled in Miami or Florida and in other parts of the country. So, I don't think it'll go anywhere. I was just surprised by the low turnout. That was what really caught my attention. I would have expected this vote to have more political intensity in Puerto Rico. Well, let's move down to Brazil, where the president, President Temer, sort of dodged a bullet, as they like to say. And I think he was, as I understand it, Fausta, from reading the post that you wrote, he's been pretty much freed of any consequences. Am I right?
For the time being, this is not the only lawsuit that has been brought up on the Lava Jato involving Temer. Because remember, Temer was Dilma's vice president before she got impeached. But the top electoral court last week acquitted him of charges of illegal campaign financing. So what the judges said was that their understanding of the electoral law meant that they should only consider evidence available around the time when the case was first filed. Now, the case was first filed over 2 years ago, I think in early 2015, late 2014, before much of the Lava Jato, the car wash evidence, had been collected. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know whether what the result is going to be on the other cases or whether there is a larger case that may drag him down. So we'll see. Now, these cases are going to continue. I think the investigators themselves are very committed to the cases. And there's other cases that name him maybe as an accused or as being involved in some of the dealings. So we'll have to see. For now, however, he remains president, and I don't think that is necessarily a bad thing.
Go ahead.
The country needs a president, and the question is, who is not involved of
right.
all the politicians?
Right, and he was at least on, I mean, President Temer, at least on the issues, was sounding a sensible message, meaning that he was in favor of some reforms to improve the economy and so on. So in that sense, it's okay for the country. I mean, I'd rather have him than let's say some other person. But it just amazes me how crazy the political situation is in Brazil. So what is the next thing we should look forward to in Brazil, Fausta?
Well, that's another country that has to fix up its economy. I mean, not to be talking only about myself, but that is why I told you last week that I am so exhausted of Latin American news. I mean, it's like almost you hear the same story. All you have to do is change the name of the countries, and you have the same situation of too much government spending, too many handouts, not enough production, not enough industrialization or modernization or effective infrastructure spending, and so on. It's like you can almost change one country from the other, especially if you add the factor of corruption too.
Right.
So Brazil has a very bad economy at the moment. The question is a recession or not? Some economists say it is. Some economists disagree. But yeah, they got to work their way out of this disaster.
Right, and that's what I said. That's why I was saying that Temer, at least on that issue of the economy, at least was saying some sensible things. You know, he was talking about some reforms of the economy to decrease the size of government and all of that. So we'll see how it works. But I think their biggest, like you say, the biggest issue is the economy, and they got to get their country. I mean, that country has got to get its act together. I mean, that's the eighth or ninth largest GDP in the world. I mean, they have to do something. Now, jumping to Mexico, Fausta, Chancellor Merkel of Germany was in Mexico this week. And, you know, she met with President Peña Nieto. Nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, when I lived in Mexico, you know, European heads of state would go down and visit. I mean, it's pretty routine. But this time she said something about fences. You know, she was talking about you know, the fence that President Trump has announced that he will build and all of this. And her reaction was, well, you know, you don't solve immigration policies with fences. That's basically what she said. I'm paraphrasing. But before she said all of that, she said, but we also have to look at the reason that people leave the country. And that's the part that got totally overlooked by the coverage of her visit. Obviously, that was not a convenient thing for the Mexican president to hear. But that is what she said, Fausta. In fact, you can see the quote of her visit, Fausta.
Yes, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, the official reason for the trip was that apparently Germany is going to host the G20 next, and Merkel stopped in Mexico, and she's going to two other countries in Latin America during her trip. But it's curious that she would come and say that, especially since there are Germans who are leaving Germany because of her immigration policies with the unvetted immigrants from supposedly Syria who are turning out to not be from Syria and who are turning out to not be underage. So meanwhile, Peña Nieto then went to Central America, and he started talking about how well Mexico is treating immigrants. And let me see, who was it?
As my mother would say, as my mother would say, Fausta, qué cara tiene ese tipo, no? For him to go down there and say that, I mean, that is just unbelievable that he would go down to Central America. Why he would even do that, I don't know. I don't know, because he's got bigger problems, believe me, than Central America right now. But I was a bit surprised that he would go down and say something like that, Fausta.
It was an official visit, and Elena Toledo at Pan Am Post has a tremendous article where she really goes out at the Mexican president's chief talk on human rights of Central American immigrants. And she starts by saying Mexico President Enrique Peña Nieto made an official visit to Guatemala last week, during which he boasted about the protection his country gives to Central American immigrants. Human rights organizations and a handful of research say otherwise. And she starts, and she doesn't let go until she finally says, Nieto's comments seem to be far more than ignorant or misguided. They are lies. So, yeah, the Central Americans weren't too happy to be hearing about that, especially the Guatemalans.
Exactly. No, exactly. And of course, it's also ironic is that there has been some talk of Mexico building a fence on the Guatemala border themselves. I was frankly very surprised that Peña Nieto would take this trip. In the time that I've known of Mexico, almost 30 years that I've had, you know, because I lived there and I worked there, and just because I've had an interest in Mexico, I don't remember of any Mexican president taking Central America that seriously. In fact, it's almost as if they don't even know what's down there. It's you know, it's, in fact, I remember one time my late father-in-law saying to me one time, you know, for the Central America, no, let me set it up the way he said it. He said, we think of the United States as the Colossus of the North. In Central America, they think of Mexico as the Colossus of the North, because, in fact, the economy of Mexico City is bigger than the entire Central American region, Fausta. So, I mean,
yeah.
there's no proportion there between the two countries. So it really puzzles me that he would make this trip. I wonder if he's just trying to get away from all the politics in Mexico, because it's been very hot for him lately.
I wouldn't be surprised, Silvio. I mean, it seemed to me that what he was saying was more directed for internal Mexican consumption than for the actual benefit of the people who were listening to him in Guatemala, who certainly were not pleased to hear it.
Well, that's true. He may also be doing, I was also thinking, well, maybe he's doing something, with respect to Trump, you know, trying to say, look how nice we treat illegal immigrants, you should do the same. I mean, maybe that's what it was. But bottom line, it just didn't make any sense considering the history of Mexico with Central American immigrants. Well, Fausta, as always, I want to thank you for your time. Thank you very much for joining us, and I hope that you have a great week. We look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Silvio. It's always a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week, and enjoy the humidity.
I'll try, thanks.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Fausta Rodriguez Wirtz, the editor of Fausta's blog, by the way, where the show will be featured on Babalu tonight. Thank you if you're listening to us over at Babalu. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas.